Everybody, welcome to a Tuesday edition Bulldog Hour. Captain Gonzo alongside here until 3, and then CG and Gonzo, Christopher Gabriel program until 5:30 today, and then it'll be time for Paul. Bulldog Baseball, Cal Poly is in at Biden-Bennett, and the first pitch at 6 o'clock. That'll be on 940 over on 790. I'm laughing because I know what's going to happen tonight with the media hype around LeBron and Zion, but the Lakers and the Pelicans on 790 with John Ireland and, like I said, the healthy Thompson, Michael Thompson, though his son Clay is getting there. He's not going to play this year. And by the way, I have the emails. Nor should Steph Curry, even though he's going to. The Warriors should sit him out. He still has nerve damage in the hand. I know they want to get him on the court to see what he can do with Wiggins. They never had a chance to see what he could do with D'Angelo Russell after four games. But to re-paraphrase the late, great Al Davis, the Warriors' attitude has to be just lose, baby, right now. So they don't need Steph Curry to show up here in March and then win a bunch of games and suddenly have four or five teams go past them in the desire for ping pong balls, which means fall below them in the standing. So that's my advice to Bob Myers in the front office. Just sit everybody out. Have Andrew Martin playing center. That's my advice to the Warriors. Andrew's tall enough, but damn near 6'5". He can play the kind of small ball we're seeing in Houston. So that's what I want from the Warriors. I want Andrew Martin at center. We're going to bring him up in just a second, but the Lakers tonight, 7 o'clock over on 790. So baseball, 5:30 on 940. Basketball, 7 o'clock over on 790. The tip for the Lakers and the Pelicans. All right, now, the aforementioned Andrew Martin ready to go, and I'm sure he is blushing already with excitement. He is flushed with excitement about the prospect of playing for the Warriors, or paying for the Warriors. Andrew, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Tony. Hey, if you want me to play center for the Warriors, that would ensure that Golden State gets the number one pick in the draft, or at least has the highest percentage possible with those ping pong balls.
And you don't suppose I was completely aware of that when I proffered that agenda. I'm sure you're aware, right, that that's the case? I've had me plugged in at guard.
When you say it, when you say it, it's insulting. When I say it about myself, it's endearing. So
that's right. Yes, there you go. Sure, I've tried to say that many times when it's been brought up that I ought to be playing for him, that it was endearing if it was my idea, but insulting otherwise. Also was true if it was. If the concept was to see how many games you could lose if you put me out there. So, anyway, the Chase Center is still full. Lacob and Goober are still making a ton of money, and Steph is going to come back and play despite my objection. I hope they bring Sabrina Ionescu into play at the same time. When Oregon season is done, if the Warriors still have a few games still left before the regular season ends, Sabrina, who is a Bay Area native and a big-time Warrior fan, she should be out there playing. How about that, Andrew? Is that okay with you?
You know something? I've often thought, because it's really tough with the genders, to determine which athlete from one sport might be able to be successful in the other sport. We've seen it in golf a couple of times, Annika Sorenstam, trying to make it, Michelle Wee trying to make it. I don't know if Sabrina Ionescu would be able to make it, in the man's game, but she definitely would. She definitely would turn a few heads. I mean, she is unbelievably talented. Those numbers, what does she have? 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 1,000 assists, or something like that, which has never been done in NCAA history. She is immensely talented and has a very bright future.
You're right about that, and she's looking forward to her beloved Warriors getting back to where they belong next fall, so we'll see how that plays out as well, and hope Oregon has a great finish this season. And at some point, we have to get to our great longtime friend Tara Vanderveer on to find out exactly how Sabrina got away from Stanford. I'd love to know the backstory on that, because even out of high school at Miramonte up in the Bay Area, it said that on the short list for Ionescu Cal, who I'm sure very upset about not staying close to home. Oregon and Oregon State, of course, she ended up at Oregon. I don't know why Stanford was not on that list. I know they had a great recruiting class. They still have a great team. Just curious how that played out. Someday we'll check it out. Which leads us to our topic today, which is basketball, both men's and women's at Fresno State. Let's start with the women's game, and then we'll get to the men. Andrew, does it make any difference? I mean, first of all, I think it's going to be a real challenge emotionally for Fresno State in Laramie over the weekend, because you've got senior day for the Cowgirls. The Bulldogs know they're locked in. Wyoming is a good team, would love to beat Fresno State, probably had hoped the Bulldogs were coming in there undefeated. But the emotions are all on the side of Wyoming. For Fresno State, it's all decided now, as you and I talked the other day. You're going to have to win the tournament. Any thought of an at-large went out the window with the loss at Air Force. Does it make any difference to you, Andrew, who they end up playing from that 8-9 game? We know it's going to be next Monday. Matt will have it for you at noon. Matter of fact, I'll talk to Matt Norville on Friday, and he will, after the game wraps up, be on with me, because we'll be coming right out of that game for Fresno State into this show. Does it make any difference to you, Andrew, who the 8-9 winner may be? Are there just enough teams that are clustered together that there's going to be a threat for Fresno State on the women's side each and every one of what could be three games for them?
You know something, Tony, I was looking at the women's standings earlier today, and right now it's going to be Colorado State and Air Force playing in that 8-9 matchup. I mean, I guess a couple things could potentially change before all these teams play their last regular
before
season
Sunday,
game. It's on Thursday. All the last regular season games.
No, I mean, I know, but
the
play-in games are on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead.
I mean, obviously, Fresno State is the number one seed. I think Boise State has already been locked into the two seed. But it's Colorado State and Air Force right now in that 8-9 matchup. And if you look at what's happened, in the last month or so in the women's, basketball standings in the conference, Fresno State has beaten Colorado State twice. But one of those games at home, they needed a buzzer beater from Allie Gomez, that little floater,
right,
to win that game. And then obviously they just got blown out at Air Force recently. Now, I don't expect Fresno State to get blown out, but I definitely think it'll be a very tough test for this program, which, I mean, how many times have we talked about this, Tony? In their, 14-game winning streak, they had quite a few fourth-quarter double-digit comebacks. And if you have to play back-to-back-to-back days against teams that really would love to knock you off your perch, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So I do think that losing at Air Force was a blessing in disguise last week. I mean, nobody wants to get blown out, but it's obviously better to lose in the regular season when you've already clinched the conference's regular season championship and the number one seed than it would be to lose, next week in either the quarterfinals or the semifinals or even the championship, because then you're stuck in the WNIT. So, I do still think that the Fresno State women's basketball team has a great chance to cut down those nets in Las Vegas, but I don't think it's going to be easy. And that's going to start with that first matchup in the quarterfinals, because if they're playing Colorado State or Air Force, both of those teams have had success against Fresno State this season. And, who knows what the next matchup would be, but if they have to face San Jose State, that's a team that could potentially beat them. Boise State is a team that wants to beat them. So I definitely think that the Bulldogs have the leg up on everybody else, but it is far from a done deal that they are absolutely going to represent this conference in the NCAA tournament this season.
Well, they'll wrap it up at Laramie in a couple of days, as you mentioned, and then it will be time for the play-in games on Sunday at the Thomas and Mack, and we know for sure Fresno State will play at noon on Monday as the one seed against the winner of that 8-9 game from Sunday. Also, I want to mention, we'll talk to Matt Lyle, the outstanding hitting coach for the softball team, toward the back end of this hour. So we'll talk about the Judy Garmon coming up and how important that's going to be with two of the top three teams in the country, Washington and Texas, down in Fullerton. But before we get there, Andrew, let's turn our attention to basketball on the men's side. Again, we're back to this glass half empty or half full routine. If you want to look at it half empty, you can say this has been a very disappointing season coming off of 23 wins last year. And that's an understandable view if you want to take that. Or you take the other side and say this is a team that has been its own worst enemy. And while that is the most frustrating thing for the fan base, it's also, as you know, the most easily rectifiable situation because that's within your control. We see this happen in sport after sport. A team with a lot of talent but not a lot of experience having trouble getting out of their own way one season, and then the next they come back and everything that went wrong the year before starts to go right because of the maturation of the club. Which side of this are you on? Are you on the side of it that says glass half empty, this team is a problem and will continue to be? Or do you say that, yeah, this season is going to end tough invariably in that tournament in Vegas next week, but that beginning next November, you're going to see all of the things that went wrong start to go right? Where are you with this thing right now?
You know, Tony, I don't feel like this Fresno State basketball team is far away from turning things around. It's just, you know, I listened to Justin Hudson's post-game conference, post-game press conference with Paul and Coach Q after the game on Saturday. I was actually at the Clovis North Memorial boys basketball game in the open division. I'm driving back to the station. I'm listening to his comments. And, you know, he's a guy who is visibly frustrated, and he should be. I mean, this is a team that, with the exception of that home game against Boise State, which was one of the worst games that Fresno State has probably ever played, they're not getting blown out for the most part. They're losing close games. Now, at some point you can say, okay, well, you know, we're a couple of stops, a couple of buckets away, but if they're not getting it done, then obviously they are not as good of a team as they think they are or that they would like to be at this point. But the fact that they're close means that, you know, kind of like with the football team from last season, there shouldn't be that many things that need to be tweaked or corrected in order to turn things around. Now, can Fresno State do that this season? I think it'll be very, very difficult because, again, if the Bulldogs are facing Air Force, you know, in that 8-9 matchup on Wednesday of next week in the conference tournament, you know, yes, they could beat Air Force. They've beaten Air Force twice this season, but then they would have to face San Diego State in the next round. And we all know that San Diego State is even more, you know, determined now than probably a week ago, because now that the Aztecs have a loss on their resume, they absolutely want to prove that they still deserve to be a number one seed, and they want to make a deep run into the tournament. Well, if they lose another game, especially if they lose a game in the conference tournament and then they don't become the conference tournament champions, you know that they're not going to get a number one seed, and their path to a potential, you know, Sweet 16 or Final Four appearance or however far they go this season is definitely going to be much, much tougher. Now, obviously, Fresno State can't worry about San Diego State or potentially facing Utah State or Nevada, whichever turns out to be the 2 seed, if the Bulldogs end up getting the 7 seed and playing that 7-10 game next Wednesday. But I do think that, and we've said this a lot, you know, before, Tony, I do think this Fresno State basketball team is incredibly talented. I've been impressed by the play of Hart as of late. You know, I still think Orlando Robinson's going to be the conference freshman of the year. You know, he's had some big games this season. Paul brought it up on the broadcast on Saturday about Jared Hyder and what we're starting to see again from him that we saw early in the season. The thing that Coach Hudson keeps bringing up, though, which I think is a valid point and something that should be discussed ahead of Senior Day this coming Saturday, is you've got 3 seniors on the team that you really need to look to at this point to be leaders. And, I mean, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but there have been games when, you know, Nate Grimes has shown up and had double-doubles. There have been games where he hasn't scored at all. You know, Noah Blackwell has the capability to throw 25 points on Air Force, but then, you know, right, he's dealt with injuries and he's disappeared in a couple of stretches. And New Williams, both on Saturday of this last week and in the UNLV game a few weeks ago, probably took ill-advised shots late in the game. Don't want to say that that is the reason why the Bulldogs lost those games, but you really need your seniors, you know, to step up and lead this team to hopefully what they deem the promised land. I mean, last year they were playing for a spot in the NIT, which they, you know, didn't get, unfortunately. That motivated them, you know, to really try to come out of the gate and have a good start to this season. So I think no matter what happens in Las Vegas, you know, this has to be looked at as a, you know, a disappointing year in general. I mean, even if they do, you know, well, I say this, unless they happen to make a run and win 4 games in 4 days and win the conference tournament and go to the NCAA tournament, then it's a terrific, you know, end to the season. But I do think there were a lot of missed opportunities this season, and it's something for the coaching staff to work on with the returning players going into the 2020-2021 season. But this season is far from over. We saw Cal Poly a few years ago in the Big West, I think, go in with a record of like, 12-20 or something like that to their conference tournament, and they won their conference tournament and went to the NCAA tournament. So it can be done. I just don't think, based on the way that Fresno State has been unable to get over the hump late in games, and blowing that lead at Nevada is, for lack of a better word, I mean, inexcusable. You know, you had the home team on its heels, you had the home crowd silent, and they gave up a huge lead late and lost that game. They gave up a huge lead at San Jose State a few weeks ago also, but they were able to get that win in overtime. You know, when you have a big lead, and we saw it against, we saw it against San Francisco, we saw it against Riverside. It's been a consistent theme for Fresno State this season. So I don't know what types of adjustments or in-game tweaks you can make, but when you have a huge lead late, you should be able to hold on to it. If you can't hold on to it, then obviously something needs to be done. So either way, they'll be looking to have a bounce back year next season. But again, as we all know, Tony, the slate gets wiped clean next week. So regardless of whether Fresno State is in that 8-9 matchup or 7-10 matchup, if the Bulldogs win 4 games in 4 days, they're going to the NCAA tournament. So that's the mindset that they have to go in with. Personally, I don't see it happening. But again, you're a dangerous team when you have nothing to lose. And it's not like their backs are against the wall, because nobody is expecting anything of them come tournament time. It's going to be San Diego State and Utah State that's playing for an at-large, and maybe if another team like a Nevada or a Boise State or a Colorado State can potentially, cut down the nets, maybe the conference gets 3 teams in. But nobody's expecting Fresno State to be one of those teams that makes a run, so maybe the Bulldogs will be overlooked. But either way, I think it's going to be a tough stretch next week, so let's see if they could beat Wyoming, which they should. I mean, the Cowboys, I don't know what their record is off the top of my head, but I believe they're in last place or, tied with San Jose State for overall worst record in the conference. They should win on Saturday, and at least that'll give them momentum heading to Vegas next week.
Well, a couple of things here. One, what you're talking about the number of games that have gotten away, that is both the good and bad news of this season, and you are correct about that. The bad news is repeatedly the Bulldogs have been their own worst enemy down the stretch. What happened at Nevada, you had big leads get away twice, the early big lead. Then you come back after they take the lead, and then you did put a cushion again up there, not as large as the initial burst at the start of the game, but enough that it appeared you should be able to hang on, and it got away again. So that is something that is a recurring theme of this season, but the thing you referenced, Andrew, is what I hang on to. Again, you are not going out there and being pounded by 20 and 25 all the time where you could say, you know what, right, if we improve, then we'll lose by 10. No, you're talking about games that are within your grasp. You should be able to win. And so when you look at this season as an overview, when you can look at it dispassionately, as the coaching staff will be able to, when you get to the off season, it's impossible right now to see the forest for the trees, the overview of the coaching staff, because you're still involved, like you said, in a season that isn't over yet, and because of the redo of the conference tournament, you're right, you have a puncher's chance. But when they take a look at this thing, as everything is done, they're going to look back and say, this game, that game, this game, that game, all of these games should have been in the win column. That's the tough part of it, and that's the good news about it, because you can fix that. A year of maturation with, as our buddy Joe had mentioned, the four H's. When you take Robinson and then you take the Hiders and guys like that coming back, right? You have got a shot, the Hollins, the Hiders, etc., to make this an outstanding team next year. Not just a good team, but a really, really good team. And, with San Diego State losing a lot of guys, etc., this conference is going to be wide open. I know this. You're going to have a fan base, though, Andrew, and you know this because you've been in this market long enough. You already have a wait-and-see fan base about this team despite the 23 wins last year. It's a fan base that's going to tell you, you know what, we're willing to write this off as an aberration, but you better prove it next year. It's going to be an enormously important year, barring, like you said, 4 straight in Vegas. It is going to be extremely important that all the promise that this team has shown in spurts coalesces next year. If not, you're going to have a really impatient group at Save Mart Center. So I'm waiting to see what happens. I don't think it's going to be rectified this year, but you can make the case that there's at least half a dozen games that probably should have gone, or at least could have gone, the other way. And we're talking down to the last couple of minutes, and does that not sound like the football season we just finished up, my friend? I was just talking to Paul about this yesterday. Doesn't this sound exactly like what we said about football, right? This game, that game,
yeah, and
this
that's
game,
what I...
that way, all the time, and it drives you nuts, but you do hang on to the fact that at least they're right there. But again, football also, people are anticipating a turnaround next year. Going to be a pressure-filled start to the 2021 academic and sports year at Fresno State, with the main sports really on the griddle at the start of the year, right?
Yeah, and that's what I just said about the football team too, Tony. When you go 4-8 and you lose a lot of games late, it means that you are right there. Obviously, you're not as good as you think you are if you're not pulling out those victories. And, you know, the cliche goes, you know, you pull out a victory from the jaws of defeat. Well, you flip that around, and that's unfortunately what the football team and what the basketball team have done this season. But again, you look at the football record, right? And let's just focus on conference play for a second, with the exception of that Air Force game when they, you know, turned a close game into a blowout. They really had a chance in the majority of the games that they lost. Same thing with the basketball team. Take away that Boise State loss where they got blown out in the second half, and most of the other conference games, they are right there. I definitely agree with everything that you're saying, and I think that next year will certainly be a critical year because it'll be year three for Coach Hutson. So, you know, the vast majority of the players, if not all the players at that point, will be his players in the system, at least the ones that will be seeing significant playing time, because, you know, you got a ton of freshmen in the lineup right now that'll be sophomores, and then the incoming freshmen will obviously be his recruits. I definitely think that Fresno State is a team to watch moving forward. I do think Orlando Robinson is a future NBA player. You know, as we've already talked about, you know, Hart has proven his worth, and I assume he'll be in the starting lineup next season. You've got, you know, you've got a Gao and Juve that hopefully can, you know, get some more minutes off the bench. Holland has been playing well. Hyder, can get it done on any given night. So, again, I mean, this team has a lot of returning pieces next year, and if they could build that foundation now so they look at this Wyoming game and however many games they play next week as the first building blocks towards next season, then they can go into the summer and say, okay, well, you know what? You got to chalk up this past season, you know, as a loss, you know, an L in the loss column. But then moving forward, it's, okay, what do we need to do to get better? Because they've seen every team in the conference. They know that they can hang with most teams in the conference. San Diego State is obviously having a special season, and who knows how far the Aztecs go. But against Utah State, could Fresno State have won that game? Maybe not at home, but certainly the game in Logan, which is probably even more impressive because nobody seems to win in Logan. So, again, I don't know what to expect next week in the conference tournament. My assumption is San Diego State will be the team cutting down the nets. If that happens and Fresno State's in the 8-9 matchup, then obviously it would mean the Bulldogs would lose in the quarterfinals. I could see Utah State winning that tournament as well. And who knows if there's another dark horse team. Remember a few years ago, I think when Larry Nance Jr. was still with Wyoming, Wyoming was the team that ended up winning the tournament as, I believe, yes, a 5 seed, I want to say. We've seen the Mountain West get multiple bids numerous times. And, you know, again, if San Diego State wins and Utah State gets in as an at-large, that's a win for the conference because it also means that they'll get at least one, maybe two teams into the NIT. You know, certainly it would be great for the Bulldogs if Fresno State was one of those teams playing in a prestigious tournament, but it'll happen, and I don't see why it couldn't happen next season when you would have year three under Coach Hutson and then, again, all this returning talent. So based on the way that Fresno State has played this season and recently, you know, if I'm being honest, I don't expect the Bulldogs to make a run of 4 games in 4 days, you know, getting to the championship game. But when you are a team going in with no pressure, no expectations other than, you know, what you put on yourself, then why can't they, you know, make a run? But again, I think the entire country assumes that San Diego State is going to be the team cutting down the nets. And, you know, Utah State has been projected as an at-large team in the tournament for a couple of weeks. And if all that holds, then, you know, I think we kind of have a clear picture of what the assumption is that, you know, how the tournament is going to play out next week. But again, if Fresno State's in that 8-9 matchup, you can only focus on the first game in front of you. And if it is Air Force, Bulldogs beat Air Force twice this season, so they always say, you know, it's tough to beat a team three times in a season. Well, why can't they beat them a third time, especially with the way, you know, that Fresno State has been able to play against the Falcons this season.
Right. Also want to mention here, Joe, if you're listening, he talked about Hart, Holland, Hyder, and then Hudson, the coach, to be the 4-H's. I would say this with Robinson, maybe we can talk about any of those guys feeding the post, and that would make it H2O. How about that, Andrew? H2O.
That's good. Fine.
Don't patronize me. I don't need to be patronized by you, Martin. That's all there is to it. Thanks.
No.
Thanks
I like
for
that.
Trying.
Sure.
Okay, I know you too well. I know you're just being kind, and you will S-hammer me about it.
Yeah, well, you know what, Tony?
At 2 o'clock in the morning call.
I'm a little distracted because Coach Kerr just called another late practice over at the Warriors facility, so I got to go work
on
my low post game. Yeah,
that's right. You and our good buddy from Michigan State, the walking technical, who's very upset that he's no longer 6'8". I don't know if you're aware that Draymond suddenly found out he was 6'6". It's like he went to the combine where, like Trent Dilfer said, they take your head and they shove it so far down your neck, you're 2 inches shorter than you thought you were when you walked in the place. Draymond is not pleased to find out he's 6'6". All right, last thing.
Do you know something,
about,
Tony? Hang on. Can I just get this in real quick? Since you mentioned,
sure,
you know, measurements in the combine, how much is being made of Joe Burrow's, you know,
his hand size? Yeah.
It's like, who cares? And look, you know what? Drew Brees is under 6 feet. Russell Wilson is under 6 feet. You know, Wes Welker was a slot receiver for his entire career. There are plenty of examples of guys. If you can play, you can play. And I have no idea if Joe Burrow is going to be, you know, a superstar at the next level. But the guy, you know, won the Heisman Trophy. He led LSU to a national championship. He deserves to be the number one pick and go to a team that currently resides, or, well, I'd say currently, a team that resides in his home state. So I wish that people would just stop going so crazy about measurements. His video, you know, his on-field performance should speak for itself. If he flames out in the NFL,
right,
it'll be because of something else, not because his hands are 9 inches versus 9 7/10 or whatever, you know, the going rate is or the going size is. I laugh at all that stuff.
Well, you are correct, sir. We have 9-inch nails, and now we have 9-inch hands. It's going to be a big march up the Billboard charts. All right, the last thing, the last couple of minutes I want to ask you about, because you have hypothesized, and justifiably so, and I've talked about it, about the 8-9 leading to San Diego State. There is one asterisk to all of this, and that is something Paul brought up a week ago with me, his feeling that, first of all, he thought the Bulldogs could win at Nevada, and I don't blame him for feeling that way. They probably should have won that game last weekend. But the bigger issue is the problems internally at New Mexico, suspension, everything else. You've got a game at Air Force tomorrow night. If New Mexico wins it, then the Bulldogs are destined to the 8-9 game. But if New Mexico loses that game, Paul, Andrew, as Paul pointed out, assuming that the Bulldogs take care of business against Wyoming on Saturday, and the Cowboys have played a little bit better. They have picked up a couple of wins after, you know, not being very good at all early on, and that's an understatement. But do you see New Mexico, who finishes with Utah State, do you see New Mexico losing at Air Force tomorrow night, and then that opens the door for the Bulldogs, if they have a Utah State win against New Mexico, to jump up with a win over Wyoming into that 7-10 game? Do you see that happening?
No, I don't. And I know that New Mexico's kind of reeling now. What have they lost? 3 in a row, 4 in a row, something like that.
They have been very bad since all these troubles, yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, they are a middle-of-the-pack team right now, and they're kind of in a similar boat, you know, as Fresno State is, which is, you know, New Mexico typically has been, you know, in the upper echelon of teams in the Mountain West Conference. Same is true with Fresno State. I mean, before, you know, this season, and technically it won't be official, obviously, until next week, but Fresno State, I believe, has been the only team in the Mountain West Conference since the Bulldogs joined the conference to get in that top five and get a first-round bye in the conference tournament. I mean, that's really impressive when you think about all the teams that are in this conference and how much tournament history you know, they've all experienced. I mean, San Diego State, Utah State, Nevada, you know, in Wyoming, et cetera. Obviously, that streak is going to come to an end this season. But New Mexico is one of those teams where on any given year, you have to assume that the Lobos are going to be one of those teams in contention, you know, for a top spot, a bye in the conference tournament, and possibly a bid to either the NCAA tournament or the NIT. And so, I mean, New Mexico right now, what's the record? Like 17 and 12, something like that. I'd have to look it up. But they're probably not even on the bubble for the NIT.
No, they're cooked anyway. Yeah, I guess, look, Andrew, we're running out of time. Not to interrupt, just here's the bottom line. The Bulldogs need a win and two New Mexico losses. Is it going to happen? No. Is that what you're saying? No.
Even if New Mexico loses, to Utah State, I think New Mexico is going to beat Air Force. I do. But it could happen.
And the Air Force game comes first tomorrow night, so we're going to know. If New Mexico wins at Air Force, even though the Bulldogs could catch them in theory and tie them, the quality win against Boise State earlier in the year will vault the Lobos up into that seven slot. However, as New Mexico loses tomorrow, then it comes down to if the Bulldogs beat Wyoming and Utah State at the Pit beats New Mexico, the Bulldogs will end up in that seven slot. So we'll see what happens. Andrew, appreciate it. I'll be watching the Insider on Sunday. 10 seconds, 3 months now, we have to decide the Olympics. Dick Pound saying we have to make a decision late May. Yay or nay, 10 seconds. Is it going to happen, or are they going to cancel it?
You know something, I read about that earlier. They're not going to cancel the Olympics unless something egregious happens. They're worried about Zika in Rio. We didn't see a mosquito. In Pyeongchang, they were worried about military retaliation from North Korea. I do think the coronavirus is a serious issue that needs to be dealt with, but my guess is they'll find a way to protect the people who are traveling to Tokyo. I would be shocked if the Olympics are canceled. There are billions of dollars at stake.
And Andrew will be there if they do indeed contest them. Appreciate it, my friend. 6 o'clock Sunday night, Channel 24, The Insider. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks, Tony. See you.
All right, guys, Andrew Martin, we'll take a break. Want to come back with Matt Lyle, talk a little Bulldog softball before the top of the hour, and Christopher Gabriel coming up on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Hi, right, buddy, welcome back to 40 Bulldog Hour to 3, and then it'll be Christopher and Gonzo, CGP, till 5:30 today, and then Paul will come up from Biden-Bennett, pregame at 5:30 in Cal Poly and Fresno State. First pitch just after 6 o'clock. Bulldogs have Columbia over the weekend, and then next weekend it is going to be time to head to Arizona State. Three important games for the baseball team trying to erase a very frustrating weekend that just took place. Also, softball team continues to play great ball, and they'll be headed to the most prestigious tournament you're going to find in the regular season, the Judy Garland Classic. We've been there many, many years throughout the 80s and 90s and 2000s. Usually you'll find, if not your national champion there, ultimately, at least two or three of the teams that will end up in Oklahoma City. And Fresno State will get a shot this weekend at two of the three best teams right now in the country, number two Washington on the schedule and the number three Texas. So to talk about that, we bring up the outstanding hitting coach, assistant coach Matt Lyle of Fresno State, coming off of another big weekend, five wins in the Invitational. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Matt, I'll tell you, someday when we have more time, we don't have a lot today, I want to talk about the philosophy of hitting, because I know you were with the White Sox and you understand hitting as well as anybody. I've seen softball go from the old Dudley White, which was like a mush ball, and 40 feet from the rubber to home plate, which meant you had to start your swing about the time the pitcher was getting ready to release the ball, to the crazy part of the new ball, but then the titanium bats that mercifully, before they killed somebody at third base, they got rid of. You had Arizona players hitting 350-foot homers, to what we have now, which is a great compromise. Someday we'll talk about the philosophy of it. For today, I want to talk about what you're seeing for a team now that in these games, in both tournaments at home, 80 runs in 10 games. You had 5 in 50. You've got a team that's hitting almost 300 as a group. Is this sustainable, Matt? Because that's a real gaudy stat, particularly in a park that, as you know, is not offensive friendly. You have to earn it at Margie Wright Diamond. How good has this team been?
I call Margie Wright the graveyard because it's tough to get it out of there. So, I just think for our team, I think they just finally believed that they're capable of the tools and skills that they have. And for me, I've done the best I can to try to create an environment for them to, excel into their skills and tools. So sustainability wise, I think I totally believe that we're just scratching the surface of where our offense is going. I think for us, we started a little bit slow, and I just see us getting better each day. So for me, my expectations for this offense is only to get better. I don't know if we can keep at the pace of 10 runs a game for a lot of these games, but I do believe that we will see the bats consistently stay the way that they are and just get better, just based on just what I see with the girls in the sense of, their work ethic and what they buy into and what they believe in.
Right. And just to further amplify one point that Matt is making about the graveyard, we were talking the other day, Matt, that when the stadium was first put up in the mid-90s, we thought it was going to be turned the same direction that Biden is turned. Instead, it's the opposite. And because of that, you not only have as spacious a park as you can have, but the winds, as you know, invariably blow out of the northwest. So they push everything back. And when you guys go on the road, never mind the elevation of Albuquerque, whatever, but even to Fullerton this weekend, you know this. It's a completely different proposition. You stand in the park and you say, wow, as for your hitters, this is really close now, isn't it? It just has a whole different feel.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot of nights that I get onto the bucket and I look up at the wind and I see the flags blowing straight in. I kind of just look at the sky like, okay, God, I see what you're doing here. You're going to make this a challenging night for us. So for us, I'm always checking the fences and the weather and the distance of the fields that we're going to, just for the sake of for our kids to understand, hey, you know what? Not every park in the country is this big and the wind doesn't blow in. There's actually a lot of parks that are pretty friendly to our philosophy of, doing damage. And so I think we kind of have to talk about it a little bit with our players, just because I know that they're seeing the power that they have and the ability to drive the ball. And I said, Margie Wright kind of takes some of that away. So we've kind of shifted our pride. We lead the country with 19 triples, and the second most in the country is 10. So for us, we've kind of just adopted this. Okay, if Margie's going to take away these home runs for us, we're gonna break the school record in triples. We're gonna lead the country in triples, and so for us, it's been a great adoption of understanding. Hey, you know what? Let's shift our focus so much on doing damage that let's focus on these triples, and it's kind of just a fun way for us to be able to kind of refocus how we do damage at the plate.
Yeah, you're so right. It's so spacious out there. It's kind of like Coors Field if the ball didn't carry 400 feet.
Yes.
Every time you hit it, if you make Coors have the wind blow in and not carry that well and see how many extra base hits you're going to get up the gap, because there's a lot of room out there. And by the way, I mentioned it last week. Margie was a great pitcher, and trust me, it wasn't lost on her about what direction she wanted to stadium to face.
Yes,
when it was
I totally believe it. And with Tricia Ford here, when I got here, thinking, nope, you could definitely tell the ballparks you get to where the head coaches and the people that are in charge of designing,
right,
whether they're pitching coach or hitting coaches.
That's absolutely true. Now, I want to ask you about, you come off the big weekend of the Kickoff Classic at home where you did score 50 in five games. You go to Stanford, Matt, and a game that was very important, obviously, because the Cardinals are a quality program. You had that game within grasp, but got away. You come back home, and you get down 7-1 against Santa Barbara, yet you have the firepower to come back and win that game. How pleased were you and Linda and everybody to watch the team really mentally refocus once they were down 7-1? Because I know it was tough coming back from Palo Alto, a game you felt you should have won.
Yeah, we definitely felt like that was a game that we let slip away. But I will tell you what, one of the things I'm most impressed about this team is in that moment when we were down 7-1 in the third inning, there was not a person in the dugout that didn't believe we'd come back. And in the top of that inning, I told the team, are we a 10-run team tonight? And they said, yes. I said, let's get those 10 runs. And it was a funny joke at the end of the game saying we actually ended up with those 10 runs. So, we talk about that a lot. Like, are we a 10-run team? And they 100% believe that. So when we were down 7-1, I said to them, are we still a 10-run team tonight? And they said, yes. And so for for me, I'm incredibly impressed with, you know, they didn't look, they weren't down at all, and there was no heads down. There was no, you know, not believing that we could do it. And so when they did that and they came back, it was like, you know what, no matter what the score is, no matter what the situation, you know, we're capable of coming back. And so, like I said, I was just really impressed with their mindset, in the sense of they weren't willing to let that get to them.
You know, from Roller to Jennings to Broussard to Demby to Galvin, you have the offense. I'm so impressed. 10 home runs for this team playing in a park that is not, as we said, conducive to it. But how much is everybody looking forward to, as I mentioned, the most prestigious tournament you're going to find in the regular season, the 2 and 3 seeds in the country, the 2 and 3 ranked teams there. It's a huge weekend. How much is everybody looking forward to this right now, Matt?
I think everyone on our team is just excited to play the best competition, to prove to people that we can hang with them. And I know that, and that for opening weekend, when we hung with Michigan and Florida, and we believe we should have won both of those games. I just know that going into this weekend, I think not so much a chip on the shoulder, but just a, hey, we believe in ourselves. We want to prove to everybody that we really are who we are. So I think just everyone's just excited to get down there and just to be able to kind of prove to everyone, you know, how good we are and how much they believe in themselves.
Last thing, we have talked on air about the year after year that this program had nationally prominent, whether it was Omaha or Sunnyvale for a couple of years, and since 1990, Oklahoma City, going back and being right there, one of the top three teams in the country, then breaking through in 98, and then after 99, they haven't been back, which is amazing to think about. They haven't even been to a Super Regional. The storied history of this program, Matt, does this team, as currently constructed, have the wherewithal to get itself deep into the postseason this year?
I think the coaching staff and every student-athlete on this program believes in that 100%. I don't think I myself wouldn't have come here if I didn't believe that, and I don't think any player here has any doubt anymore, especially just the way they've seen the hanging with the Cals and Stanfords and Floridas and Michigans. I just think that they fully believe that this is a Mountain West championship team. This is a team that can make a deep run in the playoffs, and so for us, we continue to talk about, you know, yesterday's home runs don't win tomorrow's games, and so for us, we're flushing the good with the bad, and looking forward to, you know, the next day and the next day, and just kind of that never satisfied, relentless pursuit of where we're going. And so for me, and speaking for the kids too, there's no doubt that that's the goal and what they're capable of doing.
It started 7:30 Friday night in Fullerton. I'll talk to Matt Norville, who's calling the games for us during the year, about what he expects to see. We'll do that on Friday. And then as I let you go, Matt, I appreciate the time to Matt Lyle. The fact that, you know, I called a ton of games when Linda was at UNLV, and she was a fiery competitor, but she was always and always will be a local product. I mean, that's all there is to it. She grew up watching this program. You have lineage of your family dating all the way back to your grandfather. How personal is it for both of you guys to see this program back to the success that we've seen before?
Well, I just think for both of us, Bulldog bred and Bulldog born are things that resonate with us. And so I think we both grew up as Bulldog fans. And so when Linda called me, it was an easy heart pull for me, because, you know, I grew up being a diehard fan, and whether it was football and different sports and growing up. So for me, just trying to honor the teams of the past and honor the athletics program over the last, you know, 30, 40 years I've been a fan of it. I just think for both of us, it's really personal, because we grew up as, we feel like a part of this family, a part of the Fresno State. So, you know, for us, it's just a big deal in that sense.
Well, Matt, we look forward to the weekend and the rest of the regular season, and you and I will have that talk about the philosophy of hitting when we have more time. Appreciate you jumping in. Have a great trip to Fullerton. Successful weekend. No question. Matt, appreciate it. Take care. Sure.
You got it.
All right, guys, Matt Lyle, we'll take a break, come back, wrap it up, get you ready for CG and Gonzo momentarily, then Bulldog Baseball 5:30 today with Cal Poly and the Lakers over on 790, a tip just after 7 o'clock as Zion and the Pelicans are in. Take a break on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN.